Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. It is Roddy Nabalzi at Roddy Nabalzi. And Roddy writes for UGASports.com. And Roddy, what do you think, man? You happy with what the Dogs brought in yesterday?
Yeah, I think if you're a Georgia fan, you have to be. I mean, you're in our rankings, you're maybe 50 points away from having the number one class in the nation. You're right there toe-to-toe with Alabama, the team that, you know, is your, I guess, thorn in your side, if you will be. You know, that's the team that everyone is measured against, especially when it comes to recruiting rankings. I mean, Alabama had the top class for 8 years in a row. So Georgia did it last year, and they're right there in the thick of it. And they still have three or four top players to add to this class. So if you're a Georgia fan, I mean, well, we put out something the other day. In Mark Richt's 14 years in Athens, he signed 16 five-star athletes, and Kirby Smart's done that in 4 years. So the man can recruit. So if you're a Georgia fan, you've got to be very happy right now.
Right. What's going on, brother? We talked to Chip Towers a little bit earlier before you came on, talking about this new quarterback, Dwan Mathis. Now, he was telling us it was last summer that he was in a camp, and then all of a sudden – with Sunday, Georgia reaches out and says, hey, we got a scholarship for you if you want to come. I mean, did it happen similar to that right there?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Pretty much had it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we asked Kirby about it. And he said, look, you know, we're not idiots. We know that when you bring in a couple of five-star quarterbacks, you know, one may transfer. And if you look at the history of these five-star guys, I mean, the last two Heisman Trophy winners in Oklahoma were both transfers. So it happens, you know. And you've already lost one. We thought Jacob Eason went back to Washington. So – you had to think if, you know, these two guys come to loggerheads, and if they're not best friends, it's very likely that whoever loses out may transfer again. So Kirby was, you know, they worked the phones and they worked the contacts, and you keep those DMs open and you keep talking to guys. And sure enough, when the news was broken to the coaches by the Fields family, Justin and his family, they said, hey, you know, we're going to look around. They said, well, you know, we need to have something. Plus, Kirby only had two quarterbacks, you know, on the roster, two scholarship guys, and he's always wanted four. He didn't just say that yesterday. He's been saying that since he got here. So he's always trying to bring a guy in. And so he needs more than just the two guys just to run practice. I mean, Randy, you've seen it where, you know, they run the two spot.
Right.
You know, they got quarterbacks working both sides of the field, you know, throwing to different receivers, getting everybody reps. And you just can't do that with, you know, one quarterback and a slew of walk-ons. So, but it was, like you said, very quick.
It's Roddy Nabalzi, guys, from UGASports.com here on the WadeFord.com hotline. They kind of, I guess you could read they were anticipating the Fields move, because it's not like you're driving down to Hayhira to jump on a flight to Hawaii.
Right.
But the effort was in to go get Dylan Gabriel. He winds up going to Central Florida. I mean, what happened there?
Yeah, just Dylan, basically, this is just my take on it from people that I've spoken to. He looked at Jake Fromm and said, no thanks. I'm good. I mean, Jake Fromm's already run up two five-star quarterbacks. So the last thing I need to do is go sit behind him for a couple years. So, whereas, you know, this Dwan Mathis young man, he's very talented. We have him as the number two dual threat quarterback in the nation, but he is a project. He's a little unpolished. And I've spoken to our analysts out there. They say, look, this kid is an absolute, you know, huge boom or bust type kid. He could be fantastic, and they're very high on him. I mean, we don't rank him, you know, number two in the nation. For no reason, but they do say he needs some polishing, and to be able to sit behind Jake Fromm for 2 years, well, that would be perfect. Get him in those games, bring him up slowly, because I mean, think about what Kirby had to do his first couple of years. You know, you're playing a true freshman, you know, with Jacob Eason and then Jake Fromm. This is the first real year that he's had that he's not actually having to throw a new kid to the wolves. So it'll be interesting what he can do with bringing Stetson Bennett back after he's had a year of experience at the JUCO level. And to have Dwan Mathis to actually bring him along slowly and not say, hey, congratulations on making the team. You have to go beat Tennessee right now.
Right. Explain this situation with this kid out of Mississippi, this quarterback, John Plumlee. What is the situation as far as it goes with this blue shirt thing?
What they want him to do, because they're tight on scholarships. I mean, Kirby, of course, always wants an extra offensive lineman, another tight end, you know, another wide receiver. I mean, he's always adding. And he wants, of course, you know, a couple more quarterbacks. So the idea here is you offer him a blue shirt because he's not going to enroll early. John Plumlee is one heck of a baseball player. If you talk to anybody in the Braves organization, you know, Cardinals, Marlins, they will tell you that they love this kid. They have scouts checking him out all the time. He's going to play his senior baseball He's going to get drafted. I mean, he probably won't. He'll play college football, but he is going to be drafted at some point in the baseball thing, which is a testament to what an athlete he is. But they're going to give him a blue shirt, which is basically saying, look, come in next year. You have to come in as a walk-on for the first couple of days, first couple of weeks of camp or whatever. But once the practice starts, I mean, once classes start, you're on scholarship and you can practice and play. But his scholarship counts towards the 2020 class. All the guys yesterday and all the guys, you know, on January 5th and February 8th in this recruiting class will be class of 2019 guys. He'll be counted as a class of 2020 guy.
Uh-huh.
So basically, you're taking an advance, if you will, on your scholarship numbers, and that's what they want John Plumlee to do. Will he is the bigger question, though.
It's Rodney DeBalzi talking about the Dogs, and we got a day to kind of absorb everything that went down on the first day of signing. Rodney writes, by the way, for UGASports.com. Follow him at Twitter, at Rodney with an I, DeBalzi. Rodney, the only thing, I guess, if there was one thing Georgia fans would go, is the way the running backs went down. Alabama gets Trey Sanders. But Zamir White should be healthy, right, and ready to go?
Yeah, from what everything I've seen him walking around. I've talked to people within the organization. I've talked to people who are very close to him and have seen him actually, you know, doing his rehab. He's actually running at speed. He's making some cuts. I don't know if that's ahead of schedule because they pushed. I mean, in Randy's day, in my day, you know, you had an injury like that, you were out a year, you know, right. 18 months. Now these guys are popping back in 7 months.
Hmm.
You know? So I don't want to say he's ahead of schedule, but in my mind he is, just because of the stuff he's doing now, knowing how recently it happened. So now he's actually moving, so you can really consider him to be part of this class. And you need a little class separation. I mean, if you look at that, I expect Elijah Holyfield to come back this year. A lot of people don't, but I do. So if Elijah Holyfield comes back, you have DeAndre Swift, you have maybe Brian Herrien, although he may transfer. You got James Cook, the five-star, Zamir White, the five-star, and then you're bringing in Kenny McIntosh. Yeah, you could bring in a sixth or seventh running back in this class, and yes, you do want Trey Sanders. Don't get me wrong, Georgia went after him very hard. But there are also some fantastic 2020 running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia says, okay, we missed out on Trey Sanders, but let's bring in, you know, at this point, if you're a 2020 running back and you're watching Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, Todd Gurley in the NFL, and you're seeing DeAndre Swift's going to get ranked high, I mean, drafted highly, and Elijah Holyfield may leave as a junior, you're like, yeah, I think I'll go run behind that giant wall Sam Pittman's building in Athens. So,
right.
Yeah, they may miss out on Trey Sanders, but they have an embarrassment of riches in that running back room already. So it's not anybody that's tearing their hair out. Just relax. It'll be okay.
Roddy, you just said a second ago, in our time, and in our time, the Sugar Bowl was a big deal. It really was.
Yes.
It was a huge deal to get to go down to New Orleans and play a big-time school. Now you're getting to play a big-time program in Texas, and me and Mike have been talking about this the last couple of days, talked to Chip about the same thing. Do you think the players will be able to get up to this? Because, Roddy, I like the fact that we're disappointed that we're in this bowl, but at the same time, don't want that to carry over to a bad performance by them and a bad turnout for the Georgia fans.
Yeah, we actually wrote a story about that. You know, will these guys just be, you know, kind of going through the motions? They are disappointed. Is there a letdown? They don't have the historical background. Like, you know, if you or I look at Georgia versus Texas, we know it's 10-9. Everybody knows, you know, the old saying. And most of us know Texas is this giant powerhouse, this national program. These kids have not grown up with a very powerful Texas
right.
team. You know, to them, Texas is UCF. You know, yeah, you've got some history or you've come on late, but you're not Texas the way you and I know them. So, but here's the thing. I've been talking to people who've gone to practice, and Kirby is basically saying, look, you want to play next year? Here's your tryouts. So you let the seniors, you know, leave practice a little bit early, and you take those younger guys, say, you know, here's all the guys who can play in the bowl game and still not lose any eligibility, you know, because you can still do that redshirt thing if you're playing four games. And, hey, all you other guys, now these seniors are leaving, who's going to be DeAndre Walker's replacement? Who's going to be Lamont Galliard's replacement? So these guys are basically taking this as a mini camp, and I am very confident that they are going to do their best to actually take it to Texas. Plus, they can make a statement. They think they should have been in the playoffs. A lot of people do. If Alabama blows out Oklahoma and Georgia, you know, drubs Texas, they'll be able to say, we told you so. So I could see that happening.
And it's funny because we always kind of like poke the bear when we talk about Alabama, not Bear Bryant, but, you know, Bear Bama fans, when we say, oh, we were so, you know, disheartened after the kick six. So
they,
you know,
were. They were.
But that, you can understand that. You know, and then, you know, in 08, they lost to a Utah team, and it was like, wow, you know. So, I mean, SEC pride. Hopefully that comes into play. But, you know, Roddy touched on it. It just doesn't – in the 80s, Sugar Bowl was huge. Keith Jackson, Frank Broyles. New Year's night, it was big. I don't know if that means as much to guys once we put this playoff mechanism in place.
No, it really doesn't, because now the playoffs are the big get. But it's a chance for these guys, knowing that they're going to be, you know, back in the very likely, you know, back in the SEC title game next year. You basically have so much competition at every position of this team. Because I mean, when you bring in the number three class, the number one class, the number two class. If you want to play football, man, you better bring in practice, and you better do it in the game, or else Kirby's going to move on. I mean, he is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately guy. And when I say lately, I don't mean what did you do in the last game.
Right.
You have to win your job in practice throughout the week. So I don't see any of those guys just kind of melee in. They're not going to get up because it's Texas. They're not going to get up because it's a Sugar Bowl. They're going to get up because they want to play next year. So to me, it's like a giant tryout.
All right, big guy. 20 seconds, Roddy. Where does Justin Fields land?
Right now, my gut is telling me Ohio State.
Right. Yeah, big stage and a perfect fit. So it makes sense. All right, brother, have a great holiday.
Don't rule out Oklahoma.
All right. Well, he shouldn't go to Florida State if he's into self-preservation. All right, brother, have a great holiday. We'll talk to you for the Sugar Bowl, man.
Appreciate you, Roddy.
That's a good dude, man. Roddy, follow him, Roddy DeBalzi, on UJSports.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.